Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 26 to 39, and we're talking about the power of story, the power of testimony. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. This is what it says. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven out by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out on the man, they went into the pig, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So they got into the boat and left. The man from which the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do just come in an attitude of gratitude. We come in thankfulness just for your word and for the way that you're working among your people. Lord, I just pray this morning as we read, as we read your scripture and as we seek to understand it and apply it to our life, Lord, help us begin to have ears to hear and eyes to see the way that you're moving and want to move in our lives and in our stories. In Jesus' name we pray, and your church said, amen. Back in 2017, Anna and I watched a movie called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. It's a moving film about a man named A.A. Milne, who is behind Winnie the Pooh. And the movie is also about his son, Christopher Robin. Now, at first glance, we thought that the movie just might be this nostalgic tale through the 100-acre wood. But once we started watching it, we realized it's much more than that. The movie kind of pulls back the curtain and shows the viewer real, often messy, story behind the story of how this classic children's character came to be. It talked about the pain of Milne's life, the healing journey, and the very human way that he was led to be one of the world's most beloved children's authors, writing the beloved Winnie the Pooh. And what really stayed with us was how the movie honored storytelling. Not just the fictional kind, but the real-life, layered, sometimes painful kind. It explored Milne's drama from World War I, his battle with PTSD, and his search for healing through writing and through reconnecting with his son through the stories. And from all that struggle, something beautiful was born. Stories that touched the hearts of millions. And I think that's one thing about storytelling, is it's powerful. It connects us to one another. It helps us make sense of the chaos in our lives. Anthropologists tell us that every culture on earth that has ever existed has told stories. And it's how we remember, it's how we process, and sometimes it's how we heal. And as you know, a very good story helps our lives fit into something much bigger. That's why stories matter so much to us. They don't just entertain us, but they shape us, they connect us, and they often reveal deeper truths we might otherwise miss. And that brings us sort of the passage we're talking about this morning in Luke chapter 8. As we just read, the scene begins with Jesus stepping out of a boat. And as soon as he does, he immediately meets a man who is among the tombs. He's naked. He's scared. He's tormented. And this man, we're told, the reason he is the way he is because he's possessed by many demonic spirits. So many that when asked, he says that his name is Legion. This is a real person, someone whose humanity has been all but erased by suffering. He's been chained, cast out from society and feared. He's living among the dead in the tombs. Now ask yourself, what would you do if you encountered this man? Most of us, including myself, if we're honest, would probably keep our distance. Maybe cross to the other side of the road. But not Jesus. We find out that Jesus looks at this man. He sees beyond the filth and the noise and the tear, and Jesus sees the man behind the tormented soul. He speaks directly into his oppression. And Jesus asks him, "What's your name?" Jesus is asking a question about our identity. And of course, at this time, the demons reply from within the man saying, "Legion, for we are many." And as I mentioned, this moment isn't just about a name. It's about identity. The man no longer knows who he is apart from this torment he's experiencing. But we find out that Jesus knows. In fact, Jesus casts out the demon, sending them into a herd of pigs, which rush off a cliff. And afterwards, a man who was once out of his mind is now fully clothed, sitting calmly at Jesus' feet. A picture of restoration, of dignity, of freedom, of reclaimed humanity. And we are told that the people around him are terrified. Let's read verse 35. "And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to see Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now, isn't that interesting that this man, that they were afraid? You'd think that they would be celebrating. But instead, something was interrupted in their lives in a way that didn't make sense to them, and they were fearful. But this man wasn't fearful. He wasn't frightened at all. His newfound faith in Jesus was alive. In fact, the man who had just been healed begs Jesus to let him come with him. He wants to follow Jesus, be with him. And why wouldn't he? Jesus just saved him. But this is where this turns towards this idea of story. Jesus says something interesting in verse 39. He says, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." It's odd. You'd think that Jesus would say, "Yeah, sure, man. I just saved you. You're excited. You want to follow me? Come and follow me," like he did disciples. But instead, he says, "No, stay. Return home and tell how much God has done for you." Because it's clear that Jesus wants his healing to be more than just about his own personal transformation. Jesus knows that our stories have been gifted to us, not just for ourselves, but for others. He doesn't just free this man for himself, in other words, he freed him to be a living testimony in his community. This man who was once the embodiment of chaos became a walking parable of redemption. And this is what Luke tells us in verse 39. "The man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." And we know that people listened because they knew him. They had seen his madness. They had seen now his peace. And they couldn't deny the change. You know, when Anna was in early labor with one of our kids, you know, some people have short labor, some have long. Ours kind of, you know, some of ours were very long, some of ours were very short. Like I say, ours, like I did anything. But we were at the hospital, that's the point. And things were still very early and slow stage, and I had kind of brought a book to pass the time. I had that privilege, yes. And the book was entitled Journey Toward Renewal. And it was a biography of a Christian thinker. His name's Clark Pinnock. Very interesting figure. And I love biographies. I love reading biographies, always have, especially when they're about people that I find intriguing and whose ideas have shaped me in some way or just provoked me in some way. And there's just something I think about reading about someone's story and how their actual lived experience shapes the way they think and believe. And this one really pulled me in. I didn't agree with everything that this guy thought, but I loved seeing how his life shaped his trajectory, the way that his experience shaped the way he talked about and thought about God and God's relationship to the world. They were tied to his real life, his doubts, struggles, his experiences of God. And when I read it, it had sort of a heartbeat. You could tell that he had been formed in the trenches of actual life, not just in the pages of a textbook. And that's what testimony is. It's a theology of flesh and bones. It's a gospel lived out in someone's actual life. It's, I once was lost, but now I'm found. It's, I was blind, but now I see. So let me ask you, where has God intersected your story? I'm not sure, that didn't mean to be that dramatic. I don't know why the lights went that way. But you can still ask yourself, where has God intersected your story? Maybe it was a moment of deep grief where you're surprised by a peace that could be only from God. Again, not a huge emphasis, but maybe it was this lifelong struggle with shame that God gently lifted off your shoulders. Maybe it was a slow dawning of faith after years of skepticism. And it doesn't have to be dramatic to be shared. It just has to be true. See, like the man in Luke 8, Jesus sends us out, not with perfect philosophical home run arguments about God's existence, but with a personal story. Here's what God did for me. So ask yourself, where have you experienced transformation in your life? What tombs did God call you out of? Who in your life needs to hear your story? Not to be convinced, but to be invited. Because remember, Jesus believed in the power of people's stories rooted in him. He knows that testimony isn't just about was, it's about what is. And when we tell the truth about what God has done in our lives, we don't just share information, we're sharing hope that the world so desperately needs. We're inviting people into considering that there's a personal God who works in personal ways and personal lives. So friends, like the healed man on the shoreline, God is inviting you to share your testimony. Tell your friends, tell your family, because your story, when surrendered to Christ, has power. Now, if you were with us last fall, you'll remember that we took a journey through the book of Revelation. In the 12th chapter of that book, you remember that John, who's the writer of Revelation, pulls back the curtain and helps us see the realities of heaven. It sees that there's a cosmic battle taking place. And it describes a fierce confrontation between the forces of heaven and the accuser known as Satan. And in verse 11, we come across a curious and striking declaration. This is what it says. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. Isn't that interesting? The implication here is really profound because in this vividly heavenly battle, it isn't angelic swords or divine thunderbolts that lead to the victory. Instead, the triumph hinges on two things. Number one, the blood of Christ. And number two, the testimony of believers. Now, we often recognize the saving power of the blood of Christ. We're going to do communion in a few minutes. We celebrate that every week, recognizing the power is in the blood of Christ. But to pair that with testimony, what's so special about that? According to Scripture, our lived experience with God and His faithfulness is not just encouragement or inspiration. It is a spiritual weapon against the forces of darkness. Testimony is not a casual anecdote. It's truth on the move. Truth embodied in people. Truth that speaks back to evil and says, "You no longer have a hold on me." But why does testimony have such weight? Because it flows from encounter with God. It doesn't traffic only in theory or abstraction, but it witnesses to what actually God has done. The writer John also talks about this idea not only in Revelation, but he also talks about it in 1 John chapter 5. He says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." This isn't about performance or perfection. It's about possession. We have received eternal life in Jesus, and the power of our testimony is rooted in that reality. And when we testify, we are simply pointing to that gift that we have received and said, "This is where life begins. This is where life began for me." And that's exactly what we just witnessed here in baptism. We also witness this kind of power in John chapter 9. Maybe you know the story. There's a man who has never seen before. He's born blind. And Jesus encounters him. And in response, Jesus does something very strange. If you read the scriptures, you'll realize that Jesus does some weird stuff. In this instance, Jesus spits in the dirt, making mud, and puts it on this guy's eyes. He then sends him to go off to wash in a nearby pool of water. And when the man obeys, he can see for the first time in his life. But when he opens his eyes, he doesn't see Jesus any longer. Instead, he sees religious leaders who are interrogating him about Jesus. They're skeptical, even hostile about this so-called miracle that's taken place. The healing has disrupted their system. They're frustrated about Jesus' miracle. Remember what happened just in Luke chapter 8? The people were scared. They were frustrated by Jesus' presence there. So they try to pressure the formerly blind man into giving them ammunition against Jesus. But this is what he says in response to this whole episode. He says, "I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see." And this, friends, is testimony in the purest form. He doesn't offer a robust theological analysis. He doesn't try to explain the mechanics of the miracle. He simply tells the truth. "I was blind, but now I see. And it's because of that man I met." You know, many of us hesitate to share our story because we feel unequipped, or we feel underprepared or not smart enough. But this man teaches us that the only qualification for testimony is truthfulness about what God has done. Now, if you walked with God for a while, hopefully you'll know that Jesus wasn't a sinner, and you can say that too. But the point is that as God has moved in your life, then you have something worth sharing. If you scroll the reels on social media, you'll know that our modern culture is saturated with debate and contention. But here's the thing. While arguments can harden, stories can soften. And when someone shares their testimony, it's not easily dismissed because it carries emotional credibility. I've rarely, as a pastor, you know, I've been in school entirely too long. And I know all sorts of arguments about God's existence and all of that kind of stuff, but I've rarely had anyone ask me for that. But I have had many people ask me, "So how'd you come to faith? I've had many people ask me, why are you so committed to your beliefs? What they really want to know is, has this made any difference into your life? And when you share how God met you in your pain, your doubts, your loss, your rebellion, it opens up a door. Because the world is starving for authenticity. And your testimony might just be the gospel someone has been waiting to hear. But testimony isn't just for evangelism, friends. It's also a form of worship and remembrance. As you just heard Holly share, what does that make you want to do? It makes you want to begin to just erupt in praise to God. There's something about sharing our own testimony that makes us worship more fully, makes those around us worship more fully, because it has teeth to what God is doing, not in someone else's life way out there, but in our life among us. So today, the call is simple: to tell your story. Not just the neat, cleaned up version, but the real one. The one that includes the pain. The one that includes the doubt. And ultimately, redemption. Because that's where the power lies. Now for some of you, you maybe are like the man in Luke chapter 8. Maybe you've been like the blind man who hasn't been freed yet. You haven't given your life to Jesus. But today, maybe is the beginning of a new testimony for you. And today, if that's you, I want to invite you to respond to God, to give your life to Him. Come and pray with someone after the service. Email us so we can follow up with encouragement. Tell me, tell our staff. Let us celebrate the new beginning of a new journey with Jesus. But for others, I want to encourage you, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, steward the testimony God has given you. Reflect intentionally. Take time to recall the God moments in your life. What has changed? When did God show up? Write it down. Organize your story into a few core themes. Before Christ, how you encountered Him, how life has changed. This simple exercise will fuel what God has been doing in your life. Number three, practice telling it. Share it with someone that you trust. And finally, be open to the Spirit. Listen for opportunities and promptings. You know, sometimes a moment will arise unexpectedly to share what God has done, and you simply have to say, here's what God has done for me. The only qualification that we need, friends, is honesty and availability to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful for the gift of story. Lord, as we conclude, our own and those of others, we thank you, God, for what you're doing among us in each one of our lives. Lord, thank you for showing us that no one is beyond your reach. Even the person chained among the tombs, Lord, wasn't forgotten by you. So Lord, help us be the kind of people who tell the truth about what you've done in our lives. Give us courage to speak, even when we feel unsure or unqualified. Because as we've seen, it's not eloquence that changes lives. It's truth carried out by the power of your Spirit in loving willingness. And Lord, remind us that our stories that you've gifted to us are not just for us. They're a part of your redemptive mission in the world. Holy Spirit, go with us this week. Prompt our memories. Stir our hearts. Give us eyes to see the work and our past, and the boldness to speak, Lord, what you've done in our lives. Whether through words, actions, or quiet presence, Lord, may our lives be living letters of your redemption. In his powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now this morning we're doing something a little bit different as we think about what God has done in our stories. This is a central thing for us who follow Jesus, is that the act of Christ's sacrifice has given us access to renewed life in Jesus. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's table. And since we have all of our kids here and all of our youth, it's a family Sunday, we're actually going to be taking time, our deacons are going to be serving communion instead of having them at your seat. And so if you actually are physically have a difficulty getting up and receiving, our deacons, just stay seated and our deacons will come and serve you. Before we do that, we're going to pray, but just to give you some instructions, we have some freshly baked bread. We also have gluten-free bread for those with allergies. And you're going to be going to one of these two tables and receiving. So deacons, you can come forward. And just come up and then go around after you receive, and you can partake once you receive the elements. And after everyone's received, we're going to stand and we're going to sing thanks to our God, talking about the story God has given us, the ultimate redemption in Christ. So before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we come to your table today in gratitude. Lord, we do confess before you, Lord, that we have fallen short in thought, word, and deed, by what we've done and by what we've also left undone. And yet, Lord, you meet us with forgiveness. You meet us with grace. You meet us with mercy. And so we ask this morning that you'd sanctify these gifts by your Holy Spirit to be for us the body and the blood of Christ, nourishment for our souls, and a sign of continuing rich life with you. And Lord, we receive them with grateful hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Let us stand and let us receive the body of Christ. Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of grace that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that you've given each one of us. And Lord, all of that stems, as we just sang, from the blood. And so, Lord, we just pray this week that, Lord, as we begin to remind ourselves of the story that you've given us, from death to life, as we've seen displayed here through baptism, as we've heard through testimony, as we've heard through the testimony of Scripture, God, Lord, help us begin to bring that kind of news out into the world. Help us bring that as worship unto you. And Lord, as we've taken in the blood of Christ, as we've tasted of the body, Lord, we're reminded not just in our minds, but of our senses of your goodness. So Lord, we pray that as we leave to this place today, you'd send us out in a new found power by your Spirit to begin to be your feet, the salt of the earth. We thank you, Lord. If we can have our prayer teams just available up front. We're going to continue to allow the worship team just to play for a few. If you would like to receive prayer for anything at all, Lord has touched your heart about something, even something that you'd like to give your life to Christ, whatever it may be, come and pray one of these folks, and they will be here to pray with you. Let me speak a blessing over you. I have Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Let us walk in the power of testimony. Amen. See you next week, everybody. Thank you.